But anyhow, I love you. God bless you. Happy Tuesday to you. Let's get back into this. Last week, we've been talking about faith. We've been in the vein of faith, the power of faith, beyond man. Faith is always beyond man. I think one of the problems of the modern day church is we somehow have reduced faith to like a man mechanism. We've got to the place where faith has so much to do with man. God can't do anything with man. God, man, be quiet. God parted the sea without a man. God made lions not hungry without. Now, I fell into this trap. I used to teach that doctrine in error or in ignorance as a young preacher, not knowing any better, because I heard other preachers teaching it. Well, you don't go by other preachers teaching, you go by the Word of God. But back to this, God never asked any human being to believe for lions not to be hungry. He just simply said, lions, you're not going to eat people today. God never asked any human beings for permission or to get power to the earth for fire not to burn. He just said, fire's not going to burn humans or anything today. No, and it's not even going to have a scent of smoke. So your little doctrine that God needs you on this earth to get anything done on this earth, let me help you as a sovereign God. God is God, and God is God alone. And God's going to do what he needs to do, what he wants to do, and you can get involved with it or not. So faith, the operation of faith, is the operation of the kingdom of God. It's the operation of the Almighty God. We can involve ourselves with it or not, but that doesn't change the fact that faith still is and will always be. Now, you can get in faith, and you can get in the vein or the flow of heaven, or you can stay out of it. But that doesn't change that it's going to flow whether you're in it or not. Amen. So we've been talking about this. We've been talking about the power of faith. We've been talking about faith's ability. We've been talking about faith always has to do with God beyond you. Faith is always supernatural. Attached to faith is miracle, signs, and wonders. That's the product of faith or the produce of faith. I know it creates after its own kind. But it takes this element of the supernatural miracle ability to produce faith or faith's, seed, the fruit. Amen. But last week we started talking about the kingdom. The entire kingdom of God works like this. We can take out all the questions of why doesn't it work for me? Or how do I get this? How do I get healed? How do I believe for a house? Well, you just got to know how the kingdom works. So take your Bible and let's go into Mark chapter 4. Amen. And I probably should do about 10 days on faith straight every morning. If I get some commitments on that, I probably would. But this will change your life, and the Word of God will change your life. Hold on for a second. Let me help you get it out of the natural first, and then we'll get to Mark 4. So go first to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we've been on this passage or book or letter that Paul was dealing with, preaching to the church in Corinth since January. But the Bible here talks about, let's drop down to 12. Now, he talks about natural eye can't see, natural ear can't hear. Natural ear, man's mind cannot perceive the things that God has for them and prepared for them that love him. That's verse 9. But it says, God reveals them to us by his Spirit. Just look at 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yeah, the deep things of God. So he reveals them to us by his Spirit. And then he says, the Spirit. So our Spirit searches all the things, yeah, the deep things of God. And then it talks about what man knows is what man can know without the Spirit. So man without the Spirit is reduced to man information, man knowledge, learned information, college, university information, school information. Anything you can learn out of a book or an idea on earth without God is what man can know. But God's trying to tell man there's more on earth than what you can get from a book, an education, a university, a school, a dictionary, a study, on a certain subject, there's more to it. There's a whole world beyond that. It's invisible to the natural senses, but it's not invisible. Well, in other words, you can't see it with your natural eyes. You can't hear with your natural ears. You can't perceive it naturally with a natural mindset. But that doesn't change the fact that there's a whole nother world that you have access to, but you only have access to it by your spirit. Now, according to the scripture, you have to have a glorified body to access it. And you don't get a glorified body till Jesus comes back in the rapture. So that means the only part of you that has access to heaven until that point is the spirit. You are a spirit, so you're a spirit. So your spirit then always has access to the things of God. But don't try to obtain the things of God. Don't try to like, I want to, you know, I'm clenching my hands and then, you know, if you're listening and not watching, and I'm like making my face like, I want it so bad. I'm trying to receive it. I'm trying to get an impartation naturally. You don't get impartations naturally. It's imparted to your spirit. Your spirit then reflects to your natural part, to you. The things of the spirit are caught, are absorbed, are received easily, and then your spirit conveys and or reflects the knowledge it gained to your flesh. And your flesh trusts your spirit because that's who you are, a spirit. So then it goes back to, it says, 12, now we've not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. So we have received a God spirit. I've taught about this on Sunday in deep revelatory type teaching that was imparted to me in the spirit, but I don't have time to get deep into it. But you received a God spirit. Now, I know you are a spirit, but we can say this. I don't know if you remember years ago, there was transparency paper. You remember where you could lay a piece of paper on a piece of paper and the thing on the bottom was transparent, but they kind of became like one, the papers. The Holy Spirit is kind of like a transparency that fits on top of your spirit perfectly in a divine sense, giving you access to the kingdom of God. We shouldn't even separate the Holy Spirit. When you have access to the Holy Spirit and you are a born-again spirit, so you have a God spirit, then in 2 Corinthians you have the same spirit of faith. You shouldn't separate the Holy Spirit and your spirit because they become one. Now, not in the sense that you are the Holy Spirit, but in the sense that when you got born again, you received this God spirit. That's what it says here. Let me read it again. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. And in this spirit we received, we might know the things that are freely given to us by God, which things also we speak not in the worlds which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So you have on the inside of you this discerning spirit, this natural ability in your spirit, in your natural body, you have this heavenly, divine spirit that is attached to the Holy Ghost. So your spirit and the Holy Spirit are best friends. Now, you can't fathom this because we're thinking there's a singular Holy Spirit. Like when I'm talking about this, you're thinking, well, how can that be? You know, millions of people on the earth, and let's say how many Christians? I don't know. Let's just say 10 million Christians. And you're thinking, how can the Holy Spirit be best friends with him? Then how's he going to be best friends with me? Well, you can't understand how many parts the Holy Spirit's not limited to a singular part. The Holy Spirit can be in one place, in another place, in every place all at the same time. Those are, just don't even try to fathom that. But the Holy Spirit can teach and guide and lead me and impart to my spirit things of the kingdom of God so easy, with no restriction, no natural mind governing, just easily impartation. This is how the kingdom works. This is how heaven works. This is how easy faith works. This is how easy the miraculous works. Like some people try to, a lifetime to figure out how the operation of miracles work. When all you have to do is in your spirit receive from the Holy Ghost information, let your spirit reflect to the rest of you how miracles work out of the spirit. Come on, that's where you gain God information. In the spirit, you're not going to gain it in your brain. Stop trying to gain God information by way of your brain. Now, you might get some initially, when you study, it does go into your brain, your eyes, your ears, but then it has to drop into your spirit. So whether the Holy Spirit is conveying information to you, or you're getting, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, you're getting that into you. You can't keep it in your brain. It's not going to have power in your brain. You can memorize the whole Bible without God, and that doesn't mean you're going to have faith. No, it's when faith gets on the inside of you, the inner man. Ephesians, Paul said to the church in Ephesus, there's an inner man, the third chapter. You have this inner man, this inside man, spirit man. And that's the man, the person out of your three-part being that has access to the kingdom of God. All right, now go with me back to Mark 4. Now, this is Jesus' words. Not that the whole Bible is not important. The entire Bible is God's word. But this in red, it just saying this is where Jesus was speaking what God wanted him to speak. The entire Bible is God-breathed. The entire Bible, even Jesus' words, are God-led, derived from God into man's mouth, and man spoke as the oracle of God on behalf of God. So it's not Paul's words, Jesus' words, Peter's words, but it's not, no. This Bible is the Word of God, the breathed Word of God. So understand that. But this is just the account of Jesus, the apostle, the high priest, the sent one. He says here on behalf of God, and he said, verse 26, 4 of Mark, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed to the ground. Now, we can even say this. The entire kingdom of God works like this. You can get nothing from the kingdom of God lest you get it this way. This is access to the kingdom of God. And then he goes in and he says, it is as a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up, grow up, and he knoweth not how. Now, let's look at a couple different scriptures. Now, first, go into Mark or John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Just hold your thought there. I'm helping someone get breakthrough here. John 14, and let's understand why the scripture works like this. Now Jesus said, if we go into Mark, John 14:5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither or when you're going to go. How can we know the way? Well, Jesus just got done it up in the third verse saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father, but by me I go and prepare a place for you. Exactly what he said, but I will come again to receive you. All right, so let's drop down. And he says, Thomas says, how are we going to know this? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is in 6. No one come to the Father but by me. 7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, or from here on, you know him and have seen him. All right, so you've seen him in the beginning. You're going to see him from now on, or you should understand something different. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and we'll understand. And then Jesus replies and says to him, have you been with me such a long time, yet thou hast not known me, Philip? Or you've been with me every day, and you still don't know what I'm saying. You still don't know my message. You're still not getting it. He that has me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Now, I have an idea about this, and it's a God theological correct idea. They haven't been born again yet. So they're still limited in their spiritual access. But he's talking about, I'm going to leave, I'm going to go, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost, but he hadn't come yet. So we still don't have this dynamic to where we have the God Spirit, man Spirit, and the Holy Ghost talking to the man Spirit constantly, or man Spirit God, that God man Spirit has access to the Holy Ghost. So he's trying to impart this to him. Now Jesus says here in the 9, they say, show us the Father. He says, believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. You got to remember this now in the operation of faith. When you speak God's words, or when you're in faith, you believe, and then you're going to release or birth what you believe in order to cause the seed to sow, to grow, and the fruit to come back to you. The operation of faith. You're not doing this in and of yourself. These are not your words. You're not the author of the word. You're not the finisher of the or the completer of the word. Jesus is. God is. So he said, Jesus himself, remember, Jesus came as our payment lamb, the spotless lamb that was sent to redeem the world from their sin. He came as the ultimate sacrifice for humanity. But in him, God put his word in him as a courier to bring his word to earth. John chapter 1, 1 and 14, and the word became flesh in Jesus. Jesus came to this earth as the Word. Now, we know Jesus in and of himself, he had twofold job, to be our sacrificial lamb, to be our payment, our penalty for our sin, the penalty that was against us to pay that. But then also, he was the Word in the flesh. So he was walking out the Word. He was the messenger, the carrier. The fullness of the Word was in him and is him. So, but he's saying, it's still not my word. He says, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me. It's his word, and he does the works. So they're saying, Jesus, this is you, this is you. He goes, no, it's not me. This will help you when you're trying to pray for miracles. This will help you when you're trying to pray for someone to get healed, when you're trying to convey the gospel, when you're trying to get someone saved, delivered, all these different things. Don't think the power or the word has been reduced to you, to your ability. No, no, no. Keep it where it belongs. The words that I speak, see, when you keep it where it belongs, you speak on a higher authority. When you keep the words where they belong, I'm talking about like in a mental sense, there'll be a boldness on you because you're conveying words from the creator of all living matter. You're sowing a seed operating in the universal law that God established, and you're conveying, repeating the homologio, Greek word, to say what God has already said and established and made to work and works and produces all the time. That's how the kingdom works. But if you reduce it to me, if you think you got to say it loud enough, now, I like yelling when I cast out devils, and you don't have to yell, but I like what Brother Norville said, even though it's not biblically sound, but it was kind of like funny. It's not heresy, But he said, you yell when you talk to devils because they're all hard of hearing. They're all deaf. I know that's not the truth. But if you were to fight a strong man naturally that came to your house, how would you deal with him? Come on. A guy shows up to your house with a sword, a knife, a gun, a stick, and starts beating on the front door and says, I'm coming in to kill your family. Are you going to say, oh, no, mister, please don't. Oh, no. If you're a sissy, you might. But I'm going to yell. I'm going to say, baby, get my gun. I'm going to be like a madman. I might tear the door down from the inside out to rip this dude's, body apart. But I'm not going to whisper or be nice to him. And that's why we get excited. But you still have to keep the power where it belongs. God's the source of that power, that energy, that ability. God is it was birthed with him. It operates by him, and it has to stay with him. You cannot adopt the word to be your own. You can't. There's not enough natural vocal cord energy for you to produce a miracle. Satan's not going to listen to you. He listens, and when he hears the words of the Creator God, he recognizes them, and he operates accordingly. Come on, are you saying amen? Now, we even have proof that a man can speak the word of God without the Spirit of God and have no reward of God. In Acts 19, there were seven sons of Sceva. They heard two different people that were God-spirited, that had divine access to the things of God, who could operate in this God verbiage, this God power ability, and they liked it. They saw it. They said, man, that's pretty neat. And they said, they left. They see a man full of demons, and they said, we adjure you, we command you by the name of Jesus to come out, come out, come out. And the demons that were in the man said, Paul, we know, Jesus, we know, but we don't know you. And that tells us that they had that information in their brain, but they weren't spiritually awakened yet. Because they could, the things of God, is this coming through to you? The things of God, the power of God, come from the Spirit of God in a man. They don't come from the vocal cords of the man. That's just how you release words. Don't think your eloquent speech, don't think you're loud, don't think you're bold, don't think because you have a drill instructor type voice that you can put on or a power voice that the power comes from there. The power comes from the source. When you go later and look at a power pole. There's a transformer on it. There's a power line. Don't look up there and say, man, look at that beautiful source of energy and power in that power pole and that line. No, that transformer is just transforming energy. It's transforming energy, but it's not the source of energy. The energy is coming from another place, traveling through the power line, getting into a transformer, and then the transformer transforms it to different outlets. You are a transformer in this example. You're just transforming the power, or the buck stops with you releasing the power of God into a circumstance or situation. But the seven sons of Sceva, they weren't attached to the power. They just had information of the power. It'd be like me telling you how a transformer works. Well, unless I am a transformer or have access to the power, I can't transform energy to you. I can only talk about it. All right, come on, back to this now. Let's go quickly. We're out of time. Quickly. Go to 8. Let's look where this power comes from. Genesis 8. Oh, glory be to God. When you understand how the operation of faith and the Spirit, it becomes easy to believe. I'm to convey the Word of God. It would almost be as like if you have a child, children, and you take care of your children, you bless them, you're blessed, and you bless them. When they ask for something or when they know who their daddy is. You go watch Sunday, two services Sunday, you'll understand this example better. But I'm in right standings with the bank. The bank is, they know who I am. I got money in the bank. My word's good with the bank. I'm on good in good standings with the bank. If I send my kid down to the bank to see a certain, I don't want to say the name of the person, but if I say, go to this bank, see this person, and you tell them you're my son and you tell them what you need, they're going to get favor and access because of their dad and what he's already done. Now, they're going to get it, but it's not because of who they are. It's because of who sent them, and they're coming on my behalf. So they're having access, power, ability given to them because of my name and the words that I told them to speak to the banker. If you take me out of the equation, you take God out of your equation, you don't have no power, no authority. But this seed time, the kingdom works, was established with Noah. We all had to thank Noah. The Bible says in 8:20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast out of the ark, every clean fowl, everything on the ark, that was on the ark, and he took one of each and offered burnt offerings on the altar unto the Lord. This is the first thing he did when the ship hit dry ground. Noah doesn't go build a house. He doesn't go have a drink. He doesn't kiss the ground, say, oh my God, we're going to make it. No, he immediately understands, God, you told me 100 years ago to build this ark. God, you spared me and my family's life 100 years ago. God, you love me. God, you know, you're with me. And the first thing he did was he offered an offering unto the Almighty. Now, while the earth remaineth, we're going to get to, you know, back to Mark 4, how this thing works. But then the Bible says, the Lord, this offering went up to the Lord as a sweet-smelling savor. Verse 21, and the Lord said in his heart, I will never again destroy humanity. I will never again wipe out humanity or destroy the earth because of what you've done, Noah, today. Well, what did he do? He offered a seed unto God. Seed still is pleasing unto God. Now, you don't offer goats anymore. You don't offer fowl. You don't offer bulls or heifer. You don't offer those things to God anymore. Our seed today is things, the greatest seed you can ever sow is the seed of obedience. And then out of obedience, the greatest seed you can ever sow is going to be currency. And the reason it's currency, because currency has the tightest grip on humanity. If you didn't have if your currency were sheep because you were a shepherd, and that's how you were to get things, purchase things, then your greatest currency would be sheep. But in society today, it's the dollar. So just as Noah established this covenant with a seed, and the covenant is, I'll never destroy man again, never destroy the earth again, I'll never smite every living thing again like I have done. 22, while the earth remaineth, Old Testament and New Testament, the earth is still here, we're still on it, seed, time, and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night, shall not cease. Chapter 9, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. How do you do that? With seed. So we can go back now into Mark 4. I know I'm going a little long today. And understand this. When we sow seed, we touch this covenant that God made with Noah for humanity. When we sow seed, it still reminds God because it goes up to God as a sweet-smelling savor. Now, hold on, Philippians. Let me make reference to Philippians chapter 4. I think I gave this to you. Dylan, did I give this to him a couple weeks back? Philippians 4. Thank you, Lord. Am I helping somebody? Now, this isn't about seed. This is more so how the kingdom works, so you can begin to see and understand the kingdom of God. Now, here in the fourth chapter, 14th verse, it says, "Notwithstanding, you well done that you did communicate with my afflictions. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving money, but only you. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once again more money to me, not because I desire money, but I desire what money offering can produce, and that is fruit, and that the fruit may abound to you." Well, once again, we know fruit is always for us. That's meat for man. That's produce product for man to eat. But God hides in fruit seed that produces more fruit. Now, be careful. Let's say this. Let's say if a $100 bill is your meat, it kind of is, it kind of isn't, because there's two seeds that got to come out of it. The first seed that has to come out of 100, and this isn't an offering, this is a faith thing, but I'm going to get this to you while we're here. The first seed that's hidden within a $100 bill is a tithe seed. It's a tenth. A $10 seed is in that $100 bill to keep the covenant of God and to keep the promise of God alive in and on the things in your life, Malachi 3. The second seed that's in that fruit is an offering beyond the tithe. If you take one of those two fruits or seeds in that fruit, hear me loud and clear. If you take the seed of the tithe or you take the seed of the offering, that's the last meal you'll have that comes from God. Because the produce is in the seed, it's not in the fruit. The fruit's for you. The seed belongs to God that you give back to him. And in return, he gives you more fruit with more seed. This is how the kingdom works. We're not farmers anymore, so we don't need to know how to sow, you know, seeds outside of currency. But that's how the entire kingdom works. It works on that system. Everything from God, everything in the Bible works on that system. Amen. Wow, we're out of time. This went fast. There's a lot of information there. I pray you go study that, you go read that, you meditate it, and you get it in on the inside of you. Settle it once and for all. These words that I speak, they're not mine. They belong to God, and he does the works. Until next time, love you. God bless you.